Welcome to another Soccer Down Here 1v1, and it's time to catch up with life in Lubbock in the NPSL, founding partner of Playbook Management International, Michael Hitchcock, hanging out with us here for a 1v1. Hitch, thanks for the introduction to Lubbock.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, man. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, so first question, why Lubbock?
Yeah, so I've been in the soccer management business for 25 years now. I don't know if that's good or bad, you know, what that says about me, but, you know, I've dedicated more than half my life now to growing the game of soccer, and certainly almost all of my career to investing and growing the game at so many different levels. And so through my sports management company, PMI, we're always trying to identify interesting markets that are somewhat underserved when it comes to men's soccer, meaning they may not have a high-level Division I men's soccer program. They don't have a professional at any of the tiers, you know, in the system or semi-pro team. Yet there's some really interesting things about the market, and we feel there's a lot of potential there to invest in, like any investment, that there's a future to it. And so through my staff, we're always, you know, studying different markets and identifying, you know, the Boone, North Carolina is the world, right? Where, you know, I put in Appalachian FC a year ago, and Lubbock's an interesting market. And so that came out when we were doing our market research as one of the top markets in the country that doesn't currently have men's soccer. And you start looking at the stats, you know, there's 350,000 people in Lubbock, and it's known as the hub city, where it's, you know, Lubbock is, for people who may not know, it's 5 hours, you know, drive time west to Dallas. And it's called the hub city because everyone from those small towns in West Texas, which is a massive area of the state, all go to Lubbock for sports, entertainment, dining, medical services, education, you name it. And so you got two major universities there in Lubbock Christian University and Texas Tech University. There's a vibrant Hispanic community there. It is the number one market in the United States, and I think contiguous market in the world, of producing cotton, which is an interesting stat. And so it's got a lot of, you know, really interesting socioeconomic dynamic there. And it's a soccer loving community. And so, you know, when we did our research, Lubbock was top of the list. And what was ironic, I guess might be the right word for it, is my daughter is a senior at Texas Tech University. So I've fallen in love with Lubbock over the last 3.5 years, going to Tech for football games and basketball games, and just obviously visiting her. So it's pretty neat when the research, you know, connects with sort of a personal, you know, interest, and just love the market. And the response since our announcement last Tuesday has been absolutely amazing.
I was going to ask, before I get into the other elements of Texas that you've had experience with in the past, things have been blowing up. What's been the response so far?
Yeah. So what's interesting is, you know, part of that research, we identified that that there's no other minor league teams at any sport, you know, in Lubbock. So while the you know, the sport of soccer is on an upward trajectory all over the country, including markets like Lubbock, there's not a lot of competition for the almighty entertainment dollar once Texas Tech baseball ends, and you got a 3.5 month period before Texas Tech football begins. And so that's when NPSL plays. And so it sort of, you know, dovetails in nicely. And so it's been absolutely just exceeded our bullish, pardon the pun, because we got a bull in our logo, bullish expectations of what it's going to look like from merchandise sales, even though we have very limited items because of all the supply chain issues out there in the world. Most of our stuff arrives in January, but selling lots of t-shirts, lots of hats, and tons of season seats. I mean, just absolutely blows my mind how many people are buying season seats. And I think that just goes to show that it's a market that wants this, right? I mean, we haven't announced stadium, we haven't announced schedule, just a concept, a brand. And I think we've got a pretty good message that, you know, this is going to be a Lubbock belt team, and the market's responding to that. So, you know, great sponsors. We're going to have a branded beer, which, you know, is such an important part of this, in my opinion. And usually it takes a while to get that. And we had two breweries right away step up, both wanting to, you know, do a branded beer for us. And we've got some really interesting local investors that I think will add a tremendous amount of value to the ownership group that we'll be announcing in January. But yeah, just all in, it's just been a really positive response. And, you know, our first tweet, which, you know, last Tuesday, I think it was 2 p.m., we announced this is coming with a cool little sizzle reel video, and that's already reached over 100,000 unique impressions on Twitter. And, you know, just traffic to the website's been terrific. It's just been a really warm reception, which we expected nothing less, that's for sure.
And, you know, a guy like me who's of a certain vintage remembers the Cotton Kings from their time in the Central Hockey League and the Western Pro and things like that. So there is that need for that kind of centralized athletic entertainment. For you and PMI, this is not the first time that you've delved into Texas. There's Denton, there's Fort Worth. So there's this concerted effort to try and find these underserved markets, whether they're suburban to larger markets or like you are here with Lubbock. It's finding that right place to make sure that you can make that impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we spend a lot of time and energy in researching the market, going out and over beers, having conversations with leaders in the community, and to make sure that, you know, everything that we identify can be validated by the soccer leaders, the business leaders, the community leaders. You know, that's just such an important part of the process. We do a lot of, you know, think and drink focus groups with people where we'll buy them a beer and ask them their thoughts and opinion on the brand, the idea, the concept, what will make this work. And we listen, you know, and we take that and, you know, we don't try to be the smartest guys in the room, but we try to be the best listeners in the room. And so, you know, we put a lot into it on the front end, and Lubbock came together really quickly. You know, this is one that, you know, I mean, it moved quickly. And I think in part because it's a big city, but it's a college town that there's pent up demand for things like this since, you know, the Cotton Kings and the Crickets, which were the minor league baseball team, since they left the market, people have wanted, you know, good quality, affordable family and corporate entertainment. And soccer happens to be the hot hand right now. I mean, we're seeing it all over the country at all different levels. You know, the College Cup semifinals in Cary, North Carolina had 10,000 people, and it looked like an international soccer match for four out of market teams, you know, and the local teams weren't in it. And, you know, then a couple of days later, you watch MLS Cup, and, you know, in a driving rain, you saw 20,000 plus fans all holding a craft brew, enjoying, you know, so it's happening all over the country. And so we're excited to be able to bring the world's game to Lubbock.
What's it been like for PMI to sit there and look in the state of Texas and various cities and look at Napa Valley, California, and look at Trinidad and Tobago, and look in New York, in the Tri-Cities area, and look at Alfredtown and places like that, and see the sport continue to grow? Have you been blown away by the sport's success, I'd say, over the last decade?
Yeah, so, you know, I was a part of MLS in the early humble beginnings, where I jokingly say we duct tape tickets to soccer balls to get people to come to games. And that's almost only sort of a joke. You know, I mean, we had to be very entrepreneurial and getting people out there. And it was tough, even in major markets where they were very cosmopolitan, and you would think that the sport would have, you know, it would have connected right away at the Major League Soccer level. It took time, and we worked really hard at it. And so, you know, all along, though, the founding fathers, if you will, of Major League Soccer, the Philly Institutes, Lamar Hunts, all said this is going to become a soccer name, right? And they, you know, you're crazy until it works, then you become visionary, right? So they were called crazy early on, and now they look pretty visionary because of how well it's working. And Lamar would even talk about sort of a 25-year, you know, marker, and that's where we are right now. And so I think, you know, in the last 5 years, just seeing the sport boom at all different levels has been pretty incredible. You know, for those of us that you know, rolled up the sleeves and made, you know, thousands of cold calls early on when we didn't have a computer, but we had a phone book and called every law firm out there trying to sell tickets, and the league was in the survive and advance mode. This is pretty rewarding, you know, because we're seeing that soccer generation finally come to fruition and starting to pack stadiums and allow us to go into markets like Lubbock, Texas and Napa Valley and, you know, have successful teams that mean a lot to that community. And they're providing really cool opportunities for players, for executives, for fans, for sponsors to have a team they can call their own. And while they can still have their favorite Premier League team, they can have their MLS team. You know, having a team in your community is critical because that's how it's done all over the world. If you're in England, every little community has a pro team or semi-pro team at some level, right? And there's promotion relegation, which tells you what level based on your meritocracy on the field where you're going to end up. But everyone has a team that means so much to that community. We're starting to get there here in the US, and that's been pretty amazing to see. We obviously had a really weird, you know, period of time. You know, we're still technically, I guess, in the pandemic, but, you know, at least I think we see there's a little light at the tunnel, hopefully. And but, you know, that slowed it down just for a hot second, and then almost it picked up even stronger than before. And so I think 2022 is going to be the biggest year in the history of soccer in this country. It's a World Cup year, which always increases sort of a spike in interest every 4 years. And then I believe that then we are, you know, and in the hourglass leading up to what will be the biggest sporting event in the history of the world coming to the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. And that's going to be a big time for the growth of soccer. So now it's about getting yourself in position to be successful and engage your community to prepare for the wave.
You mentioned the local rivalry aspect, and I think that that's key in this, especially for the growth of the grassroots level. You're going into a conference that's got Coyotes, it's got Denton, it's got Brownsville, it's got Vaqueros, it's got Irving, Katy, Midland, Odessa, and Laredo, a lot of markets where you get those natural rivals coming in out of the blocks.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, to your point, is, you know, you've got, whether it's in high school sports, it's huge in Texas, whether it's football, soccer, basketball, baseball, you've got built-in rivalries. You've been playing high schools and club teams from all these different communities. So there's a little rivalry there that we're going to be able to tap into and I think cultivate. And, so that's really exciting. And, you know, we're in, you know, a really strong conference in the Lone Star Conference, not just on the field, but off the field, great ownership groups. They invest a lot in the game in their community. So a lot of like-minded individuals. And that's great because, you know, while we do compete on the field and, you know, want to win that game, you know, you really are business partners and growing it together off the game. And so it's critical to have a strong owner sitting around the table with you that are like-minded and are willing to invest as you are. And that's where the Lone Star Conference is a good place to invest, in my opinion.
So you're looking at, as you and I are talking, this is mid to late December, and we know that the season is going to be here sooner. A lot of folks will sit there and say, oh, yeah, it's May, June, whatever. No, it's going to be here very, very quickly. And I know that a lot of us have to-do lists, and, you know, it could be, you know, it could be on your phone where you pull out a stylus like I do. You sit there, you write a note, you put the stylus back in, you put your phone away, then you can upload it to your email. Could be on a magnet on your fridge, you know, with one of those boards with a dry erase pen. Or as you and I are talking, and I'm getting a glimpse inside of Michael Hitchcock HQ, it could be off to the side on one of those walls. It could be one of those 6-foot boards, you know, that's got a lot of lines on it and everything with things that are crisscrossed. Where is your to-do list right now? How big is it? And what's the next thing that you think, other than what we've talked about in January, what's the next thing outside of what we've already talked about that you think you can cross off?
So it's a dry erase board just because it's changing by the minute, almost real time. I think what a lot of people may not realize is, you know, I work, you know, 16 hours a day, but I feel like I work, you know, 0 minutes a day, if that makes sense. I love what I do. I've got that dry erase board with me and it goes everywhere I go. And I've also got a version of that on my phone if I don't have that with me to keep updated. But yeah, we call it the PMI punch list. And so there's everything, whether it's relative to PMI or different teams. And right now it's sitting right next to me here in the home office, right? And so we keep that thing updated almost real time. And there's a lot on it. But I think when you're organized, you're focused, you've got good people working with you, which we have, so that you can delegate and things get done at a very high level. It's all manageable, right? And so it's never overwhelming, even though some people might look at it and go, oh my gosh, you know. But if you don't mind working till 1 a.m., you get the stuff done, you know? And so, yep, got the dry erase and I've got a version of that on my phone. And it's we're taking items off by the minute and we're adding things by the minute as well. So
what'd you learn about yourself as a businessman and a captain of industry in the last 18 months, considering everything that we've been through?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenging time. I think a time where if you were entrepreneurial, you could identify some really interesting opportunities, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. And I'll use one example of those is, you know, I'm in my pool, you know, the summer right in the middle of the pandemic. And, you know, I get a tweet that App State cut their men's soccer program because of COVID-19. And I decide at that moment, I'm going to put a team in Boone, North Carolina. You know, I've dedicated my life to growing the game of soccer. I always liked that market. It was on the list of markets that were really interesting. And, you know, frankly, most people wouldn't see a market of 30,000 people and think, yeah, let's invest a lot of money and put a team in there. But I saw that. And so that provided the opportunity to do something that a lot of people said was crazy, right? Why would you launch a team in Boone, North Carolina that just got rid of men's soccer? And my counter to that is there's a great market that's still going to want to go support a men's team. And if we can really connect with that market, we can do things that college teams can't do from a marketing standpoint. And, you know, created a Bigfoot branded team that, you know, caught fire and has done close to $200,000 in online merchandise and averaged 1,300 fans a game, you know, at a 1,000-seat stadium. So we're selling grass berm seating and standing room and field side seating. And that thing has just been incredibly successful. But we had to be very entrepreneurial and look for those types of opportunities. And then locally, you know, the league told us that when MPSL canceled their season in 2020, that when your governor says you could play, yeah, you can play. And so our governor in the state of Texas said, you guys can play. And, you know, there were COVID policies and protocols and things we had to do. But we launched a local league called the Roja League. And part of the reason we launched that league was I had about $100,000 in sponsorship obligations to the Fort Worth Vaqueros that were paid before we hit the pandemic. Right. So March 11th hits and, you know, the world, you know, sports, NBA pulls players off the court, sports world starts shutting down. Well, before that, we had sold our sponsors for the upcoming year. And so I had to find a solution for those sponsors or go out of business. So in a very entrepreneurial way, we said, okay, let's create a local league, reached out to the other teams that were in the same position we were in, some NPSL, some UPSL, some just really successful local adult teams. And we knew, you know, indoor players weren't playing pro indoor. A lot of the USL guys were back home, you know, and NISA guys not playing. And you had all the college kids who were home. So you had a big talent pool that was here. So we launched the league called the Roja League and it ended up being incredibly successful. I mean, we COVID tested every player through a partnership that I developed with a friend of mine who had a COVID testing company. We did, you know, social distance seating. Everything was contactless on, you know, on your phone, whether it was buying merchandise or ticket sales. It was bring your own food and beverage. Everything was incredible, and we could sell 200 tickets a game, sold out every game. Some of our digital broadcasts got 11,000 fans to watch it. I mean, it was just wildly successful, and but we had to be an entrepreneur. We had to figure that out.
So is Squatchy going to hit the road this year?
So, you know, I'll tell you, man, Bigfoot, Bigfoot's real, all right? I believe right now. I certainly do believe. And that has been a really fun brand. You know, the best money I've ever invested in anything in 25 years of sports management was $150 for a Bigfoot costume. And that Bigfoot costume is, it's everywhere in the community. And we have a team shop there, had our team shop, and Bigfoot was your customer service representative and selling you gear and taking pictures. And it was pretty awesome to see the response. And we had record sales days this weekend. And I think that was a part of it. Also gave out really good beer, you know, for free if you were shopping, which never hurts either. But Squatchy will definitely be Bigfoot will be on the road. You know, our chief marketing officer has done a pretty good job this year, so we're going to keep him around.
All right, time to cut the promo for everybody that wants to keep an eye on everything going on in Lubbock with the newest member of PMI. How do they do it?
Yeah, LubbockMatadors.com is the official website. We've got our online team shop there, which is selling some t-shirts and hats. And we just announced an apparel partnership, multi-year deal with Puma. So we'll have our Puma gear arriving in January. And our cool commemorative scarves just arrived actually yesterday from UK. They were delayed a little bit, as everything seems to be these days, but just arrived. So we're shipping out today, priority mail to, about 100 people that bought gear online. So still not too late. You know, we can ship that out for the holidays. But yeah, that's the easiest place to get all the news and information on the club. And then obviously on Twitter, it's at Lubbock Matadors. And you know, we're pretty active there and through our other social media platforms.
Michael Hitchcock, founding partner, PMI Playbook Management International, catching up with us to talk Lubbock Matadors in the NPSL. Hitch, it's great to catch up with you and seeing how you're expanding the growth of the game. Thanks for hanging out with us for a Soccer Down Here 1v1. We'll be keeping an eye.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.